God bless you.
God bless you.
I trust you well. Well, let's turn to the book of Ruth. And if you want to stand with me, feel free. And it says in Ruth chapter 1, starting at verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you bless your word, pray you bless the Bible study tonight. Pray you'd watch over us and just let us hear from you something that would encourage us and strengthen us in our journey in this pilgrim way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. So we are going to continue our study on the women of the Bible, the great women of the Bible. We have got to the book of Ruth. And so we're going to look at Ruth and Naomi. I really like this. I thought to do something different, we would read the book and just go through it together, if that's all right with you. Or, I mean, if it isn't, it's like you're stuck, you can leave, I suppose. But that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to start with chapter 1. Now, those of you who go to the Bible studies that I do sometimes, you'll know that we can get quite granular sometimes, and it's quite enjoyable seeing what we can dig out of the scriptures. But we're just going to try and do, over the next 4 Wednesday evenings that I'm ministering, obviously that's intersected with everyone else, we're just going to try and take a chapter an evening and see what we can draw out from it. Like I said, that's Lord willing, the plan. So, the book of Ruth, that's really interesting. So we start off with Elimelech. And Elimelech, you know what that means, that name? It means God is my king. God is my king. And he had a wife whose name was Naomi. And Naomi means pleasant or my delight. Okay? Did you say that as well? Joy of Jehovah. Okay? So you've got this, God is my king and my delight, or pleasant, or the joy of Jehovah, and they're living together, and it sounds about like the most perfect marriage there could be in the whole world. Okay? God is my king, I only follow God, but very much soon, much like many marriages that start off and with the right intentions, and you kind of find it gets into trouble, and maybe, though you have the words that say God is my king, you're not always led by God on the face of it, as it seems. And you can get insight into the marriage from the names of the children in the marriage. And so we know that there's trouble in the land because there's a famine in the land. And we know he's got two sons and Mahlon. Now, are you cheating with a Bible dictionary? You're not. Okay. That's for Brother Greg sitting there with his iPad. It's like, Mahlon, anyone knows what it means without looking it up? I had to look it up, you know. It means sick. Okay. And so obviously at the time that child was born, they were going through troubles because the child is named sick or sickness. Okay. And then Chilion. It means pining. Okay. So, and generally speaking, the mothers gave the babies their names. And so what was going on in this marriage between God is my king and my delight that seemed to be producing sickness and pining and bad times that were so bad that he decides to leave the land of Israel. He decides to leave the chosen land and go out into the land of Moab. Moab, you'll recall, is Lot's son, okay, by his daughter. After the fire had burnt up the cities and Lot had fled. And so we can take that as the family path of compromise because Lot decided to go and live in a compromise situation. Lot looked and said, I'm attracted to where the grass is green. I'm attracted to where the water's abundant. I'm attracted to where there's a city and we can be part of that city. I've got fellowship there. I've got provision there. I've got waters there. I've got everything that I need. And why do you say that? Because it says it looked like the Garden of Eden before the destruction. The Bible actually says that in Genesis. Okay, the plains of Zoar were watered as the Garden of Eden. And what's the Garden of Eden? It's like, man, that's the best bit of real estate that you could get for doing everything with. It was perfect, so this is perfect. So Lot moves down there, compromises, and ends up in trouble down there. So much trouble that God says, I need to make a division between the people that choose to operate in the flesh and walk by sight and the people that choose to operate above the flesh and walk by faith. Because Abraham didn't say, hey, God gave me the land. I'm going to choose where to go. He put it in God's hands by putting in Lot's hands. And he said, Lot, you go wherever you want to go. It doesn't matter to me where you want to go, because wherever I go, God is with me. Yeah? Wherever I go, God is with me, and that's enough. All right. But let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23, just to see the kind of division, the kind of commandment that surrounded this. Okay. All right. It says in verse 3, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even unto their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. But he says, okay, Moabites, not allowed in the congregation. They got to make some serious effort before God for a long time to say, it's worth my grand, great, so that would be children, grandchildren, my great, 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 great-grandchildren. Yeah, it's worth me moving to Israel and starting this process so that in 10 generations, my family can be part of the congregation of Israel. Okay? So basically, that's what it's saying. That compromise, you got to... And we're going to see, as we go through this, the kind of commitment that it takes to truly follow God. Okay? And Elimelech, my God is king, goes into Moab. And Elimelech, verse 3, Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the children of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Okay? So, she's left in this situation where her husband's dead. She has two children to provide for. She gets wives for them. And they live there for 10 years. Orpah means gazelle. Graceful. No? Ruth means friend. Correct. So, all right. But they're dwelling in the land, and verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So, now she's in a situation where she's found herself bereft of all she has by following the leading of her husband. Okay? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's talk about just something really interesting in here. From verse 1. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversations of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For in this manner, in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid without any amazement. And so your Naomi's marriage maybe wasn't quite what she expected when she married a man whose name was my God is the king. Okay. Naomi's life wasn't what she expected when he decided to leave the promised land and go to Moab and then die there. But her faith was expressed in her following God's commandments. And there was something about her, because you could say she was following the leading of the husband. But the question I have for you to think about is, who was leading her? Who was leading her husband? And knowing that David was born out of this story, and knowing that Jesus was born out of this story, and knowing that all things work together according to God's plan, maybe we should reconsider who was leading her along that path. Maybe we should reconsider whether Elimelech made a mistake. Maybe we should reconsider whether it was his sins and him going outside the land that caused all this to happen. Because it was God. Like Jonah, going down, running away from Nineveh, and on a cursory reading of that story, you could say, oh, wow, look at the disobedient prophet. But maybe God was leading him, because how else can we account for later on Jesus saying, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man must be. Okay? And so it puts another context on it to say there's a scripture here that Jesus couldn't have even said unless Jonah had gone and run away from going to Nineveh. Okay? And there's a plan here that God could not have brought into effect except by Elimelech going to Moab. But of course, for Naomi, she's in the middle of all of this, and it sure doesn't look like she's in the middle, the center of God's plan. Okay? It certainly doesn't look like that. Now, there's that poem, I didn't get it here, that Brother Don likes, you know, all the man that God uses, how he beats him and he abuses him to shape him and to mold him. And you know the one I'm talking about. Okay? But I want you to consider that here's Naomi, right in the center of God's will. So let's expand that to the old-fashioned English, where we wouldn't say, if you like, when we're speaking of people, man as in mankind. So, sisters, if you're going through a little bit of hardship in your life, and you seem to be, oh man, if I wasn't following my husband and doing what he said, we wouldn't have ended up in this situation. Oh, it's so hard. Oh my goodness, look what's going wrong. It's like, no, 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 slow down, calm down. You brothers as well, you know. Okay. It's God leading you into the place where he wants you to be, yeah, for his will to come out of that. Okay, man or woman, doesn't matter. But we're focusing on the sisters because this is a study on the great women of the Bible. Okay, so brothers, you can, you know, take it easy. Maybe. All right. Yeah. So here's a really interesting situation. All right. Naomi. She's the only... Ah, this is just so wonderful. I love this. Okay. Let's grab a scripture in Genesis chapter 1 here. Okay. All right. And in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay? So that means, if we just take that text as it's written, that God is male and female. Right? Okay. Now, I know there's a lot of gender confusion stuff going on about, is he a man or is he a woman? Is she a woman or is she a man? Okay. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a complete being, the most complete being there is, which is God. He's not complete without that male side and that female side joined together. Okay? And when he says, I want to express who I am, he's expressing who he is through men to express that, the male characteristics, and through women to express the female characteristics of the one holy God. All right? So here's Naomi, the sole representative that we know of, recorded, of the children of Israel in the land of the backsliders. Do you ever feel like that? You go to work, you're out at the, you're out shopping and you feel like, oh man, it feels like I'm the sole representative in the land of the backsliders. Okay? And it's really interesting, you think about God expressing himself and saying, I need somebody to show how I would act, yeah, if my husband went to the land of the backsliders. Am I just going to desert and say, nope, I'm not doing that? Or will my love and my sense of duty and my sense of integrity and being who I am, would I follow him? And that's what Peter speaks to. And he says, listen, and he's not so much talking about, in 1 Peter, he's not so much talking about if you're married to a believer, submit to your husband. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? He's talking about if you're married to an unbeliever, submit to your husband, because your character that's in you is the character of God being expressed in that way, and not by going to church and not by hearing a preaching, but by the word of God coming through your life, that spirit activating in the way you interact with your husband, with the people around him, will preach him a sermon that's so powerful it will convert him. But only if you're prepared to take that initial step and say, as a wife, I will be in subjection to my husband. Okay? So, yeah. That's what Peter's talking about. And that's what Naomi's in the situation where she has been subject, she has been obedient to her husband. She's ended up in a situation where everything looks like it's gone wrong. Her husband's dead, her kids are dead. She's in a foreign land. And she says, yeah, I will retain mine integrity. I will walk as a sole representative of the image of God, created to reflect God in the situation that God led her into. Something in Naomi was expressing God so much, yeah, that he said, I need to write this down so other people can read about it. Okay? Guess whose name is mentioned the most in the book of Ruth? Naomi, yeah. Okay, those of you who like biblical numbers, who likes biblical numbers? All right, no one? How many times? Brother Greg, how many times? How about 21, 3 times 7? Okay, that's how many times Naomi's name is mentioned in the bio, in Ruth. Okay? That's good, right? 21 times, 3 times 7. Because she was expressing God so much that he said, I need to have her written in the Bible. Okay? And so, she's expressing God so much, and now her desire is to return. So, then she arose, verse 6. Oh, okay, I better read some here. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, or her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, when she went forth of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. So that's quite interesting. There was something about her that kept those two, her two daughter-in-laws, attached to her, even after their husbands had died. There was something about her character and how she was expressing God. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And in that moment they said, we love you so much, we're not going to leave you. And they said unto her, verse 10, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Now remember, we're talking about that expression, what's the expression of a woman to have a husband, to have children, and that was honored and that was respected in those days. Okay, and that was the desire and the goal in those days. And she said, if you go with me, I'm empty. You're giving up that fulfillment of your life to serve this empty husk that God has not blessed. Why would you go with me? And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. But she hasn't in this denied her God. She hasn't in this denied her faith. And she hasn't in this denied that portion of the word of God that he'd given her to express. And there was something in her that was attractive to those people, because she said, you've stayed with me, you've dealt kindly with me, you've helped me. We've made a family together here in Moab, but now I'm going home and there's nothing for you there. Go and find something for yourselves. I want you to be fulfilled, unlike me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law and in love departed. But Ruth clave unto her. Why? Because Ruth had connected, coming from the land of the backsliders into the land of the true believers, she had connected to the truth that Naomi was expressing, that Jehovah was the true God, that there was something real in the scriptures, in the beliefs. And she said, that's where I want to be identified with. I don't want to be identified with my family behind me. You're going this way, and I believe in the God that I see in you so much that it's better for me to give up everything, to give up my future as a mother, to give up my future as a wife, to give up to die alone and childless and cursed by God with you, than to go back and to fulfill what I want to, the desires that I want to fulfill. And that's quite something, isn't it? Okay. Ruth deciding that there's something so valuable in her relationship with Naomi that it's worth giving up everything for. And why? Because in Ruth, there was also something of God's Spirit being expressed. And the Spirit of God that had been planted, that seed of God that had been planted in Ruth, had connected with the seed of God that was planted in Naomi, and it formed a bond that she said, this is something that reaches far beyond natural sight. And while everything you say in the natural is absolutely right, well, let's read. And she said, Naomi said to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back to thy people, to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And may we, men and women, brothers and sisters, may we capture the same revelation. May we come into contact with the same God that Ruth came into contact with by the witness and by the life of Naomi in a strange land. Yeah? And have the same dedication to say, ah, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I also be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death pass thee and me. Ah, Ruth had connected to something. But you can see again, that's God, you know. And he's fishing. And he says, over there in the pool of Moab, there's one of my fish, and I got to put out some bait there and reel it back in. And it's pretty painful for the worm on the hook to be the bait that God throws out to reel Ruth back into the, you know, where she needs to be. And if you're the bait for one of God's chosen, you might have to go through a bit. But the way you be effective as being the bait is, you know, expressing the Spirit of God. Not getting overwhelmed by your difficulties, not getting overwhelmed by your troubles to the point where it says, you know what, it's better for me. You can imagine Naomi, and I'm sure this thought crossed her mind, should I go back or should I just stay here and die here? And she said, no, my identification is in the land that God gave to the children of Abraham. I will not give up on that. And it doesn't matter how I came to be here. What matters is I am here and something is calling me to go back to the place that God took me from. And so it doesn't matter where you are and how you got to where you are right now. What matters is, are you like Ruth? Will you follow? Will you give up everything to go back to that place? Because that's the place that you call home. That's the place where your spirit connects with God's spirit. That's the place of the Father. Yeah. So, Orpha, she was prepared to follow, but she wasn't prepared to give all. She was prepared to follow until Naomi said, hey, serious now, count up the cost. Okay? I don't have anybody left in this life. I don't have any hope that if I go to Israel, there'll be husbands for you and kids for you. It's like, you look after yourself. And Orpha said, you're right. I should look after myself. It's wise words you've given me. I will go back. But Ruth said, looking after you, being with you is more important than looking after myself. Ah, how can you not see? That's the Spirit of God. Okay? So, but even more. All right, numbers again. How many times is Ruth mentioned in the book of Ruth? 14? Close. 12. Okay, 12 times. And that's the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel, that's the bride of Jehovah. That's the church, the 12 disciples calling out the church. That's the bride of Jesus. And so Ruth mentioned 12 times as the bride coming out of a strange land. Oh, I really love it, you know, his God, and he's saying, you know, I need to mix up the perfect king. I think I went through the, when we did Rahab, it's like Rahab, Boaz is Rahab's son, okay? A son or grandson, I don't remember exactly. I'll get it when we get to the end of Ruth. Okay, so he's like half or a quarter Gentile. And God says, those Israelites, they're getting a little too full of themselves, a little too big of themselves. I can't get 100% Israelite to be a king over them. I'm going to have to get someone who's got a bit more Gentile blood in him. I'm going to have to call Ruth in. Okay, you see, and that's just like, and then you read in Deuteronomy 23, no Moabites, no, not allowed in the congregation. Well, it's like everything. God has his exceptions. God has his way of doing things that are different from the way we understand. Okay. Maybe that's something that Naomi said to Ruth. Hey, look, you can come back, but you do realize that we got this law about people that come from Moab. Don't care. I want to be with you because there's something in you that expresses the God you follow that says that God will be my God. Your people will be my people, even if it's going to cost me 10 generations till I'm not going to go through it again, but till my descendants are allowed to come into the fold. God said, I like that. And you know what? I'll make it happen a little sooner than you expected. In fact, I don't know if she would have been old enough to see David crown king. So probably not. Thank you, Pam. I should say thank you, Sister Pam, because we're in church. And I usually call her Grand Pam because, yeah, married into a family. And I really love them. Okay. And, you know, it's one of the things that encourages me that they seem to love me as well. And it's like, wow, if people like that, that I admire, that I look up to, that speak to me of how God is manifest in this day and age, okay? Brother Ron and Sister Pam, if people like that like me, I feel like, oh, I can be confident that at least in a little way, I'm on the right track, you know? So, yeah. I appreciate you both. So, all right. Ruth is mentioned 12 times, the bride that God has brought back. And Ruth deciding to give up all her hope for the future, all her hope for her people, not turning back, but leaving it behind. And we got to be careful because we are called every moment of the day to say, are you going to give up your all for Jesus or are you going to hang on and turn around and hold on to something that's behind? And we should be like Ruth and decide, Lord, if there is something I'm holding on to behind me that's preventing me from following you with my whole heart, let me know about it. Because I want to be like Ruth. Where you go, Lord, I will go. Where you lodge, Lord, where you put your head, I will put my head. Lord God, your people will be my people. Jesus, your God, will be my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So when she saw she would steadfastly mind it to go with her, then she left speaking with her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me pleasant, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Why I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Not knowing she was walking along the path of greatest blessing. She'd gone out with a husband, she'd gone out with children, she'd gone out with a future. She came back with a friend, and that was all, Ruth. A stranger who should be separated from the congregation for 10 generations. She went out full of hope, came back with a fulfillment of her dreams taken away from her. But as we're going to see, well, you know the story. I don't need to, you know, no spoilers ahead, because you, well, I trust you've all read it. In that moment of darkness, she didn't know she'd brought back with her the very one that God needed, the jigsaw piece to put the picture together to bring Jesus Christ into this world. And you can imagine when we get to heaven, we might say to her, "You went through a lot." And she'll say, "Oh, that was nothing. Do you see I got my name in the Bible 21 times. Can you really believe that that happened to me?" And we'll be like, "Oh, you're a hero. And I was like, no, I'm not. I was just expressing what I had inside me that God gave me to express. I don't know why Ruth liked me. I don't know why Ron likes me. I trust it's because there's something of God. I believe it with my whole heart. There's something of God in him that's connecting to something in God in me. And together in fellowship, to build each other up, to say, hey, even if you're down and discouraged and you don't have any future, everything looks bleak and everything's gone wrong and everything's gone black, I'm still going to be your friend. Why? Because there's something inside you that connects to something inside me. It doesn't matter the explanation. It matters that, God is good. And that's Ruth chapter 1. I hope it was a blessing. Okay? Amen. Well, I guess let's pray. And then we'll sing something. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all your glorious works. And we thank you that you make your plan known through such wonderful stories as Naomi and Ruth. May we be as faithful as they, and may we, in our own small way, express your character, express your plan in our lives as they did in theirs. Father, if I've said anything wrong, let it come to your light. But the words that you've sent out tonight, let them drop in our hearts. Let them encourage and strengthen us to leave all behind us, as Ruth did, to stay faithful to you in trials, as Naomi did, and to always return to you, even if we feel like we're coming back bereft of everything. Yet the land of God is where we belong, and may we always look to be in that place. Be with us, be with those who aren't here, and watch over them. Watch over us till we meet again, Lord Jesus, under your feet. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, do you have that song, The Comforter Abides With Me? I think that's in here. He Abides. Did you give me a number? All right. He Abides, number 139. Okay. So, whatever you're going through, God is with you as he was with Naomi. He abides. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, a secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Amen. Think about it. Without Naomi, there's no Ruth. Without Ruth, there's no David. Without David, there's no Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no us. Okay? So we thank God for Naomi and for Ruth. And just have a think. You have a part to play in God's plan. Maybe not as big as Naomi and Ruth, but as significant, as vital. And there's someone you're going to meet out there who's going to get to heaven and say, without Sister Laura, there'd be no me. Yeah? Without Brother Pete, there'd be no me. Okay? Our responsibility shouldn't weigh on you, but it should be with you every day to say, how can I live my life in a way that I can attract a friend to Jesus in the same way that Naomi attracted Ruth? Well, that's our challenge. Amen. Would you like to close in a word of prayer?
Sometimes I gloss over the details and just kind of taking this time to dig in a little bit and glean what we can for me is always really encouraging. Thank you for the admonition and what we can see through these things that you've hidden deep within your word, Lord. Help us not to be in too much of a hurry as we read, and but just to tune into what your spirit would have to say to us. Lord, we ask that you'd go with us and bless the rest of our week, and go with each one and abide with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.